In John chapter 20, the Bible records the first Easter Sunday morning as follows. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." By the way, at this point, nobody expected a resurrection. They thought somebody had stolen the body. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Let me pause again. This is a little bit strange, is it not? If you were a grave robber, you're not going to take a dead body, unwrap it, fold up carefully the linen clothes, then run out the door with a naked, dead body, are you? But that's what happened. Verse 8, finally the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. What about you? Do you dare to believe? This is the most important question you'll ever be asked, because your eternal destiny is based on what you believe or do not believe. I want to answer two important questions this morning. First, what are the benefits of believing in Jesus? And second, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Let's begin. What are the benefits of believing in Jesus? The first benefit is this. Everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. Because of what Jesus did on the cross when he died for your sins, God stands ready to forgive you freely and completely. Even if there was no such thing as heaven, and of course there is, but even if there was no heaven, it would be worth believing in Jesus just to be forgiven, just to be relieved of all the shame and guilt for all the things we've done wrong. Over the years, I've talked with a lot of people who struggle with secret regrets, secret guilt, secret shame. Through Christ, the slate can be wiped clean. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Everyone who believes in Christ receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Romans 3:22 adds this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I love that last part. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be black or white. You can be rich or poor. You can be young or old. It simply doesn't matter who you are. Whoever you are, and regardless of what you've done, you can be forgiven through Christ. Everything I've ever done is forgiven when I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. What a benefit. Number two, I learn God's purpose for my life. If you don't know your purpose, and most people don't, you end up drifting through life. There's only one way to learn your purpose in life. You have to begin a personal relationship with your Creator. you really cannot tell yourself what your purpose is because you didn't make yourself. Sometimes people will say that if you want to know your purpose, look within. That doesn't work. It doesn't work because the answer is not within you. The answer is within Him. Only your Creator can tell you for what purpose you were created. You will never, ever know your purpose in life until you believe in Jesus because He is your Creator. The Bible says this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything. Everything was created through Him and for Him. Many people today are confused about their identity and their purpose. People don't know who they are or what they're supposed to do with their lives. Why the confusion? Because most people are looking in all the wrong places. In Romans 8, God tells us about our purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So, what is His purpose for our lives? Verse 29, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the likeness of His Son. God wants to change your life. He wants to change your priorities and your values. He wants to put to death the old you who lives primarily for yourself, and He wants to bring to life a new you, someone whom God progressively changes to be more and more the likeness of His Son. That's your purpose, to become more and more like Jesus. What else? Here's another benefit of believing in Jesus. Number three, I am guaranteed eternal life. Eternal life. Now we're talking. Even if none of these other things were available to those who believe in Jesus, eternal life in heaven is worth it all. Eternal life for you and me is only possible because of Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in all history. Jesus' resurrection proved two important things. The first thing is this. Jesus' resurrection proved that Jesus is exactly who He claimed to be. Jesus repeatedly said, I am God. Now some people say, I don't believe that Jesus was God. I believe that Jesus was just a good teacher. Wrong. The one thing that Jesus could not possibly be is just a good teacher. A good teacher would never claim to be God. But that is exactly who Jesus claimed to be over and over again. So, if Jesus' claim to be God was not true, He was either the biggest liar in history, or He was a lunatic, like the guy who thinks he's a poached egg. I am a poached egg. I am a poached egg. Total lunacy. Just a good teacher? Not an option. Throughout history, thousands of people have claimed to be God. Nothing new. But only one person said, I am God, and then proved it. That would be Jesus. Jesus predicted His death and resurrection on multiple occasions. Then He did exactly what He said He would do. inside the empty tomb of Jesus on that first Easter morning, an angel said to two grieving followers of Jesus, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When Jesus came back to life, he didn't appear to just a few isolated believers. He stayed on earth for 40 days. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw him and talked with him. At one point, he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. It's kind of hard to fool 500 people. The resurrection of Jesus is one of the most well-documented historical events ever. The resurrection of Jesus is so strong, so historical, he proved who he was just as he said. His resurrection historically would stand up in any court of law. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the resurrected Savior. What else did Jesus' resurrection prove? There's a second thing. Jesus' resurrection proved that there is life after death. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you and I have no hope of eternity. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, all of this is just a big joke. But let me show you what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Buddha didn't say this. Muhammad didn't say this. Nobody else ever said this because none of them were ever raised from the dead. Then, in verse 26, Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." He's talking about spiritual life versus spiritual death. Jesus said that he would give eternal life to those who believe in him. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, talks about this. I'd like us to again, just like we did during Byron's baptism, I'd like us to once again say this verse aloud together. You ready? Here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I could have given you 50 benefits of believing in Christ this morning. I gave you just three. Everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. I learn God's purpose for my life. I am guaranteed eternal life. Question: who else can give these things to you? The answer: no one else. Only Jesus. If you don't get it from Jesus, you don't get it. Jesus is the only one who can give you these things. So, what must we do? We must believe. But the question is, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? A lot of people think that they believe in Jesus, but biblically speaking, they do not. A lot of people have head knowledge about God, but they do not have a heart commitment to God. These people will miss heaven because they do not understand what it really means to believe. Question: would it surprise you if I told you that believing Jesus died on the cross is not enough to get you into heaven? Would that surprise you? Even the demons believe that. They're not going to be in heaven. We need to figure out what believing actually means. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. In Greek, the word which translates as believe is the word pistuo. Pistuo. This word means more than just knowing about something. It means more than just mere intellectual agreement. To believe means to fully entrust, to rely on, to give allegiance to. Believing in Jesus is way, way more than simply intellectual agreement. Believing in Jesus is a commitment of the heart. We all know that there are various levels of belief. For example, I believe in Tom Cruise. I don't know him personally. I know who he is, and I believe that he exists. But I have never surrendered my life to Tom Cruise, nor will I ever. In like manner, a lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but they have not surrendered their lives to him as Lord. I also believe in my wife. When I say that I believe in Crystal, it means more than simply believing she exists. It means I fully trust her. I rely on her. I have given my allegiance to her like no other woman. I love her with all my heart. That is closer to what the Bible is talking about when it talks about believing in Jesus. It means to fully entrust yourself to Jesus. It means to rely on Jesus. It means to give allegiance to Jesus. If you don't believe like this, you really don't believe. Now, as I detail this thought a bit more, I want you to evaluate the kind of belief you have in Jesus. You may have gone to church. You may have even been baptized at some point, but it may be that by biblical definition, you've never truly believed in Jesus. So I want you to hear what the scriptures say. I want you to do some self-evaluation as we go, and then your response to the Lord is up to you and the Lord. I want to explain to you five expressions of what real belief in Jesus is like. I made these five expressions into an acrostic. T-R-U-S-T. Trust. So, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? T. Turn everything over to Jesus. I must surrender everything to Jesus. That's a part of what it means to believe. I turn over my past, my present, and my future. I allow Jesus to reign as king over my finances, my relationships, my sex life, my job, everything. I turn everything over to the lordship of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, is perhaps one of the most important verses in the Bible. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is God's promise. It doesn't say you might be saved. It says if you do what this verse says, you will most certainly be saved. Now, most of us, not all perhaps, but most of us already believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. But many people have not done the first part. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Let me also explain what the term Lord means. In a monarchy, you have kings and queens. lords and ladies, knights and squires. Obviously, we don't have a monarchy in America. So nobody around here walks around saying, yes, my lord, or no, my lady. We don't say that. Now, I have mentioned to Crystal that she can call me Lord Lindy anytime she wants. Somehow, she's never taken me up on that. So, what does it mean for me to say Jesus is my Lord? What does that mean? It means that I submit to Jesus as my boss and master. I allow him to be in control of everything in my life. When I say that Jesus is my Lord, I am saying that Jesus calls the shots. If you truly believe in Jesus, you are no longer the boss of your own life. He is. So, turn everything over to Jesus. What else does it mean to believe in Jesus? R, relax in his love. Let me explain. I chose the word relax intentionally because what is the opposite of relaxing? The opposite of relaxing is not stressing, actually. In this case, it's working. Working. You don't have to work for God's love. You don't have to earn God's love. In fact, you cannot, as hard as you try, earn God's love. This is important because most of us grew up trying to earn conditional love from other people. Many of you got conditional love from your parents, your partners, your pals, your professionals, everybody else around you. You learned pretty quick that if you wanted to be loved, you had to do certain things. So, you spent much of your life trying to earn people's love. When you believe in Jesus, you can relax because God is going to love you no matter what. You don't have to earn his love. He loves you unconditionally, and his love for you never, ever changes. How can this be? Because God's love for you is not based on what you do. God's love for you is based on what Jesus did for you. Here's what the Bible says about this. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you believe in Jesus, you can relax in his love because nothing can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You, use my life to serve Jesus. Jesus did not come to this earth and die on the cross just so you could live a self-centered life. What? You mean it's not all about me? Correct. Jesus did not die on the cross just so you could live for you. God wants you to live for him. He wants you to serve him. Well, how do I do that? You say, how do I serve God? Great question. Jesus said that we serve him by serving others. God wants to use you to make an eternal difference. This difference is your service, your ministry. The Bible says that we are saved by grace, undeserved favor, not by good works. But it also says that we are saved for good works. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did you hear that? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. There is no greater thrill than to be a tool in the hands of God, to be used for His glory and His purposes. Let me be forthright. If someone claims to believe in Jesus, but they have no desire at all to serve Jesus, they should reevaluate their status with God. Believing in Jesus changes your want to and your attitude. When you believe in Jesus, you no longer want to live for yourself. You want to live for Him. What else does it mean to believe in Jesus? S, suffer for doing what's right. Because Jesus was God in human form, He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. But even though Jesus was perfect, not everybody liked Him. People accused Him of things? Yes. People misjudged Him? Yes. Some people hated Him? Yes. Some people wanted Him dead? Yes. Why? Because evil hates good. Darkness hates light. Wrong hates right. So, if you are going to believe in Jesus, you should expect some of the same reactions that Jesus got. When you do what's right, people who want to do what's wrong often get upset. Let me give you an example. Let's say that your boss is unethical. So your boss comes to you and says that for your company to be successful, cheating, lying, and stealing are required. But you say, I'm sorry, boss. I'm a follower of Jesus. I cannot do those things. Do you think your boss is going to be happy with that? Probably not. Do you think your boss might pass you over for a promotion? Probably so. You might even get fired. Believing in Jesus isn't always convenient or comfortable. The fact is, believing in Jesus is not for wimps, nor is it for wishy-washy people. If you believe in Jesus, hear me, if you believe in Jesus, you will suffer. In some countries, still today, in some countries, those who believe in Jesus die for their faith. Christians have been dying for their faith for over 2,000 years. Question: if need be, are you willing to die for your faith? Or if tomorrow our government made it against the law to follow Jesus, would you still want to follow Him? To believe in Jesus means that you must be ready to suffer. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. This is the privilege that nobody wants to talk about. But to believe in Jesus is to suffer for doing what's right. T, trust whatever Jesus says. Believing in Jesus means that if Jesus says to do something, we do it. And if Jesus says not to do something, We don't do it. We don't get to pick and choose from the Bible. We don't say, oh, I like this verse, so I'm going to follow this one. But I don't like that verse, so I am not going to follow that one. This is not what true believers do. True believers do whatever Jesus says. Whatever God says in His Word always comes to pass. God's Word is truth. When we follow God's Word, things in life go a lot better. Work is better. Marriages are better. Relationships are better. Things are better. Not necessarily easier, but better. Why? Because God's Word is truth. That's why we need to trust whatever Jesus says. 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is flawless. Psalm 33:4. For the Word of the Lord is right and true. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you believe that everything you see on television is right and true? No one? Good. How many of you believe that everything you read on the internet is true? No one. Good. How many of you believe that what God says in His Word is right and true? That would be me and many others. Then perhaps we should invest ourselves much more in God's Word than in television or the internet. That's why reading your Bible matters. That's why being involved in church consistently matters. You know, if we don't know what God says, it's a lot harder to do what God says. Okay, I hope that you've been evaluating your status in regard to being a true believer in Jesus. Let's quickly review. The benefits of believing in Jesus. Everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. I learn God's purpose for my life. I am guaranteed eternal life. Now, what it means to believe in Jesus. T. Turn everything over to Jesus. R. Relax in His love. U. Use my life to serve Jesus. S. Suffer for doing what's right. T. Trust whatever Jesus says. You may be going through days of worry or weariness right now. I dare you to believe. You may be going through days of confusion. You may not have the slightest idea about where you're going in life. I dare you to believe. I dare you to run to God, not away from Him. He will give you the comfort you will not find anywhere else. You may be going through days of grief and pain. I dare you to believe. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gave power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you want to become a child of God, you must do two things. Receive and believe. We've learned this morning that believing in Jesus is far more than just intellectual agreement. Biblical belief means to fully trust, to rely on, to give allegiance to. It means surrendering your life to Jesus as Lord. So let me ask you a question. Do you need to take this step? if you are ready to have your life changed, you need to take this step. It's going to change your life in the here and now, because you won't be living for yourself anymore. You will begin to live for Jesus. It's also going to change your eternal destiny. You will secure a home in heaven. I dare you to receive Jesus and believe in Him right now as your Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads for prayer.